You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Bart's favorite drop.
I think we're going to be using that drop a lot looking at this season.
I have a feeling. I mean, a lot of disgust last night. You were just saying it, right? With the way on the Manning cast, like they were just so disgusted.
Shannon Sharp, they was like, it looks like they're going to kick a field goal. I was like, say, kick what? 64-yard field goal. Babe, that's high percentage.
Week one. Yeah, 4.9%. Week one of the NFL is now in the books, and what we saw over the past couple of days of football is some good, some bad, and some ugly. And we love talking about it with you at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And we joined right now by a good friend of the show and a terrific voice, not just on the ESPN Radio Network, but you see him on all platforms, Harry Douglas, who joins us right now. Harry, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing, fellas?
First and foremost, I think we should a little round of applause for Harry Douglas and his brother Tony. Jonesboro High School, they're naming the gym, the court, after Harry and Tony Douglas.
About damn time.
I mean, you kidding me? You got one brother got to the NFL. You got another brother got to the NBA. From the same damn family. They should name the school after you guys.
That's some high-quality stock right there. That's some high-quality stock right there.
No doubt. But I know it means a lot to you, though, Harry.
It does, and I give a lot of credit to my, number one, God first. Without him, none of it could happen. And then my mom and dad giving us that foundation and instilling us early on, giving back to the community. Forget all the stuff we did on the court. The stuff I'm most proud of is what we're able to do within our community, the south side of Atlanta, Clayton County, Jonesboro, giving back to that community each and every year. And that's something that our parents instilled in us early on as kids when we didn't even have money like that growing up. But they always made it their point to take care of other kids and give to other families. So that's what I'm the most proud of.
That's great. Raised right is something that is intangible. You just see it. Raised right is something that you just know when you meet somebody. And I could say it for Tony. I could say it for Harry. Definitely raised right. No doubt about it. Harry, let's get to the game, though, man.
Hey, Doogie. Can I ask Doogie something?
Oh, about Doogie?
I can't call nobody by the real name. I like Doogie, man.
That's what he called me.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Doogie. Like, are we underestimating the Falcons? Are they better than we anticipated? Or was it just that the Saints were a little rusty with Jameis Winston coming back from the ACL? I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, I mean, you talk about 2 years in a row. I mean, you talk about Arthur Smith really finding his talent and being able to maximize it. But are we maybe underestimating the Atlanta Falcons? They may not be the worst team in the division?
I think so. And I wasn't surprised by anything that transpired on Sunday because I did that internship with the team and I was around those guys a lot. But it's the second year in the system. Arthur Smith is offensive system. The second year in Dean Pease's defensive system. So a lot more things can go on. And I always say it, if the offensive line and the defensive line can win a line of scrimmage in games, that this team will be all right. They did a great job of that for, I'll say, 3.5 quarters on Sunday. The Falcons had 4 sacks. The Saints had 0 sacks. The Falcons rushed for over 200 yards. On the ground. It was just phenomenal to see until I'll say about 9 minutes ago in the fourth quarter when the Saints were kind of in a hurry-up type of offense. And it's kind of hard. And I tried to explain to a lot of people on local radio this morning. It's kind of hard to try to blitz the same kind of way that you were doing early in the game when a team is going to hurry-up because you're trying to get calls. You're just trying to make sure everyone get lined up. But what it's going to be able to do for the Falcons is moving forward, they can be able to practice those situations. And you know what? We're going to have 3 or 4 blitz calls that we can go to in those situations moving forward. But with Arthur Smith, the culture that he's building there, and you look at their backfield, they have three running backs that you have to defend in the run game and the pass game. You have Kyle Pitts. He didn't have the big numbers. The New Orleans Saints tried to take him away, but it opened up a lot of things for other people. But from their sake, you can't have a receiver fumbling the football at midfield. Marcus Mariota on 3rd-and-1 to try to seal the game. You can't fumble the snap. And then going into the red zone, tight red zone to go score, Marcus has to slide. He can't try to get up extra yardage there, and he fumbled. So the Falcons literally should have won that football game, but I'm not surprised by any means.
Yeah, and it was an interesting matchup, too, between guys that were number one, number two in the draft only a couple of years ago as the quarterbacks there, and where they both are right now in this point of their careers, where they were the top quarterbacks taken, is really interesting. But, you know, we had a game last night that I'd love to get your take on, Harry, because everybody has had a take about what happened in the final few minutes and literally seconds of the game last night in Seattle between the Broncos and the Seahawks, where the Broncos look like they could be marching down for a game-winning score. And with the ball in Russell Wilson's hands in a 4th-and-5, rookie coach Nathaniel Hackett decides, I'm going to kick a 64-yard field goal instead of trying to get a little more yardage with plenty of time still on the clock. What did you think of just the decision to just go for the 64-yard or a low-percentage field goal attempt on the road instead of, as they say, letting Russ cook?
Yeah, I didn't agree with the call at all to try a 64-yard field goal. You just brought Russell Wilson. You traded for him from the Seattle Seahawks. You brought him over to Denver. You paid him a ton of money. He's back where he started his career and did a lot for that organization. Let it fall on his shoulders. Let today's story be Russell Wilson was the hero and Russell Wilson couldn't get it done. Now, granted, I didn't think them losing the game was his fault, because when you have two fumbles at the one-yard line going in by two separate running backs, that's terrible. But there were also issues with the play call getting in swiftly. You've seen a little bit of the offense be derailed in those regards. Did Russell play his best game? No, but I thought he did enough for the Denver Broncos to win that game. And you know how Tyreek Hill said that Mike McDaniel is going to need a wheelbarrow for his kahunas. Mm-hmm. And then you see Brian Daboll do what he does, going for two and then getting no 4th-and-1. Daniel Jones getting that 4th down for them to keep the drive going. Well, we can say Nathaniel Hackett, man, had some sunflower seeds. You know what I mean? When you had big kahunas on with a few other teams, you had some sunflower seeds in Seattle with Nathaniel Hackett. But he has to put Russell Wilson in that position to be the player that they paid him to be and be the player that they traded him to be.
So you're saying Nathaniel Hackett has a crown royal bag to put his his son's sunflower seeds in. That's basically what you're saying.
Smaller than that.
Hey, wait, let's go to the other. Let's go to the other side, though. I mean, because I thought, you know, we had left Geno Smith for dead, and you know, I said before, like, Geno Smith understands the assignment. The assignment is to be able to get Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. It looks like he's bucking the system, and you know, Pete Carroll has no problem with that, no issue with that. You know, speak to like you know what you saw from the young man. And can they win more than just one game and maybe be a team that could be playing meaningful football in November, December?
Bart, I've seen a Geno Smith that was comfortable, a Geno Smith that understood that he believed in himself, a guy that understands the assignment, right? He's not going to go out there, turn the football over. He's going to make the plays that he needs to make. They're going to run the football, play great defense, and he's not going to try to do anything outside of his means. He looked like a guy that's been in the National Football League for 9 or 10 years. And I'm not even going to lie. I was a guy who said, you know, if they're going with Drew Lock and Geno Smith, they're not even trying to win. But seeing what I've seen from him last night, his poise, and the way he handled the offense and had control over everything, I'm not just going to write this Seahawks team off. And if you're the San Francisco 49ers right now, coming off the first week that you had, because I thought they were just going to win their first game against Chicago, and now their second game is going to be against the Seattle Seahawks, a division opponent. I'm not feeling too comfortable right now if I'm the San Francisco 49ers after seeing what I've seen last night from the Seahawks.
Yeah, they have major concerns after that game in Chicago. Talking about Harry Douglas. So both things happen, but I want to know what you think is the bigger story. The Vikings winning in impressive fashion with Justin Jefferson just being so dominant as a wideout, or Aaron Rodgers already struggling with his young wide receivers and the Packers looking awful in their opener?
Han, I'm going to go with both. You see the frustration on Aaron Rodgers' face. And this is why it's important for me for players of his stature to be there in the offseason. Not saying that you have to be there every single day, right? Because it's voluntary workouts. But when you know you have a new set of guys that you're going to be throwing to, and a lot of these new set of guys are going to be younger guys, you have to be there some with those guys to give them that confidence, to help them out, to have those guys see you around. Because you are Aaron Rodgers, the back-to-back MVP of the National Football League. But then you flip over to the side of the Minnesota Vikings. I love the hiring Kevin O'Connell. I knew once he went there, the role that we've seen Cooper Kupp play with the Los Angeles Rams, that's the role that Justin Jefferson was going to play. Now, I will say this. I did not like the simple fact that Matt LaFleur did not allow Jair Alexander to shadow Justin Jefferson. When you have a cornerback of that caliber, you don't overthink it. Coach, it's a lot. We've seen a lot of coaches just overthink things. Let that young man go shadow Justin Jefferson and try to win the football game that way, because the defensive plan that they did have, and we expected a lot out of this defense this year, especially with those receivers not being up to par at where Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur want them to be early on, they were going to bank on this defense. The defense was a no-show yesterday. And then you're seeing guys like Zadarius Smith, who's on the Vikings now, who was in Green Bay previously, have a field day on the opposite side of the ball against Aaron Rodgers. So I just thought they could have let Jair Alexander kind of shadow Justin Jefferson. And if you're not going to do it on every play, let him do it majority of the time. But you can't let a guy go for 180 in game one and beat you like that.
Here's the issue, and I know we're going to talk kind of masterclass to the people, but, you know, try and understand what we're trying to say conceptually. Okay, they decided to go cover three, keep everybody in front. All they did was front side verticals to clear out the route, because the curl flat guy has to carry two verts. And they just ran Cooper. They just ran Jefferson behind the linebacker, who's never, ever going to get enough depth, because he would have to speed turn. He has to also recognize that the guy, your flat curl guy is going. Your curl flat guy is going, so you have to carry. Because normally you think you're passing it to somebody in another zone, but you don't know it's voided, and they attack Quay Walker, who's a rookie who doesn't know any better. Like, so this is what I don't understand. The assignment was totally wrong. It had nothing to do with the defense and that Justin Jefferson was eating and just killing them. It's that they really was, you know, beat schematically. So with that, you have to blame the coaches.
All right, you know what?
Yeah.
You're right about masterclass. You guys are talking a different language there. Like, that's a complete – whatever Bart just said was like another language. I have no idea
what you're saying.
Can you give it to me in layman's terms?
Well, if you want to be 3D.
You look at all those Seattle teams, right? You look at all those Seattle teams. They used to play a 3D coverage. And the linebacker, the middle linebacker responsibility was to take anything deep across the middle of the football field, which was always crazy in my eyes, because I never thought a linebacker could do that. Now, some teams can get away with it if you have an athletic veteran guy. But when you, like Bart just said, when you have a rookie in that position, you can't put him in that position at all early in the season.
Okay, let me make it very simple to everybody listening. In cover three, you have three deep. How do you beat three deep? You go four deep. Easy. Right? Okay. Four is more than three, so now what happens is you end up, I can handle. Right, so you end up, but, you know, to combat that, you have to, cover three can be played two different ways. Okay. Where you end up having to take the vertical, but that leaves the guy that's there voided, and he has to take the guy coming across.
You said masterclass. Ooh. You are absolutely right. That's why I love talking to both of you guys, because you guys really do break the game down into a fine powder. I just, every now and then, you know, need some translation. That's all it is. Harry, we got to leave it there, but it's always great to catch up with you, my man. All the best.
Appreciate it, fellas.
All right.
Talk to you later, Doogie.
People have to understand it, because these are two guys that watch a ton of film and they break stuff down. So when I put you two together, it's like we're all trying to keep up. But that was impressive stuff, just trying to describe exactly why the Vikings had such an easy day and the concerns about the Packers.
That's why he was when I say he was wide open, like it was nobody in the screen when George Jefferson was catching the ball. Nobody was in the screen.
Six catches and 4 yards or more separation. Like, it was it didn't make sense,
because it was a zone.
But coming up, so the Packers are a team that definitely tumbled in the power rankings 1 week in. We get the latest from ESPN.com's power rankings. It gets Bart's take on it, including who is team number 32.
What, man, really?
But First, really? Tell us about O'Reilly.
No. Hell no. I ain't telling you about nothing. I'm about to take a sabbatical. Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let the professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. For check engine lights, diagnostics, and repair advice, or the right tool and repair parts, get everything you need from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bumping in with the highlights.
No.
Read music.
You don't read that part.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back is McKinnon. He got the cutback run earlier in this drive. They fake it to him. They throw left. It's caught by Hardman. Touchdown, Kansas City. Hardman goes right to left in motion and then gets a free area right at the goal line. A two-yard touchdown pass for Mahomes. His fifth of the game.
You don't say. Really, 106.5. The Wolf. As Stosh is just having some fun with Bart here. Yes.
Stosh, I'm still
the
bold.
Chiefs, Mahomes.
Now the chefs. The chefs.
Rumors of their demise are greatly exaggerated.
No, it's not. The chef gets a break. No Keenan Allen, hamstring helper. But they're going against this week. It won't be that he'll be back there burping the baby, right? Because he's going to have Bosa, and he's going to have Mack, who had two sacks. We're going to see if this offensive line is as advertised. It's the Cardinals. Okay, yeah, last year. They don't have – listen. DeAndre Hopkins got jacked up on Mountain Dew, so he going to miss six games because he was cheating. So now you got the Mandalorian with no help. He got Hollywood Brown. Who the hell are you throwing to? You got Isaiah Simmons covering Travis Kelce. The defense coordinator need to be fired for that one. No. It should be a very, very good game. It should be a measuring stick.
That is the Thursday night game, the first time it happens on Prime, by the way, everybody. And then, folks, yeah, so you want to tune in Friday.
Go out and subscribe first. First of all, go out and subscribe, because if you think you're just going to turn, it's no channel called Amazon Prime.
Nope.
You got to stream that, son. Yes, listen, Bezos wins again. He's going to make you give him $14.99, or you ain't watching nothing.
Well, tell you what, let's get to the power rankings, because the Chiefs are a team that was on the move up after this, and we'll see. Friday, by the way, you want to tune in, because I think Stosh is going to be belligerent if they win this game. So the number one team, according to the power rankings, stayed at number one, and it's no surprise, is the Buffalo Bills, okay? But at number two, Bart, moving up from number four. Can I do Casey Kasem?
Yeah.
Moving up from number four. The number two song in the land.
You don't know nobody. You know nobody. They know Carson Daly.
Nobody knows Casey.
I understand your audience. Well, it's most of your audience.
Yeah, it's true. By the way, hit me up if you know who I'm talking about. Casey Kasem, please. I don't feel that old. I just got a few more.
He had nice sweaters. Always had nice sweaters when he was doing the countdown.
Yes. Meanwhile, Kansas City Chiefs, Stosh, at number two.
Okay.
The third ranking moving down from two would be the Bucs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Chargers move to four, up from eight. The Rams move down to five, after getting smoked by the Bills, from three. I'm going to give you the top ten, and then some highlights. The Ravens at six, moving up from nine. They beat up the Jets. I don't know why.
They didn't beat them up like that.
They beat them up. The Bengals dropped to seven from
63
five.
Yards.
See, I don't agree with this. I think the Bengals should have slipped more than just two spots, from five to seven. That was embarrassing.
It's because they almost won after having five turnovers.
embarrassing. The Packers dropped two. That should have been more as well, from six to eight.
Where's New England in string cheese?
I'm going to get there. Number nine, moving all the way up from number 15. Fly, Eagles, fly. The Philadelphia Eagles.
They should have been up there.
And then rounding out the top 10, moving all the way up from number 23.
Oh, come on. Stop.
The Minnesota Vikings. Right. Yes. That's impressive. All right. So some other highlights of big move-ups. Dolphins move up from 19 to 11. This is the ESPN Power Rankings for week one. The 49ers dropped to 12 from 7. Saints moved up from 20 to 13. That's a big move.
Why would Steelers they ever 20?
Up. Yeah. The Steelers move up from 22 to 14. That's a big move.
That means that Tennessee
other
dropped.
Other big moves.
That means Tennessee dropped.
Other big move. Tennessee, yeah, from 11 to 19 after losing to the Giants.
And then I love that music, man. Turn that up,
means
B.
something.
Get chilly.
Let's see. Everybody else kind of. Oh, here you go. Here's your Patriots. You asked for them. They were at 16. They drop all the way to 21.
Tell me, Barsha Diamonds was right about string cheese.
You know what? Maybe. And although the back issue doesn't seem to be a problem, we'll see. And then finally, by the way, Seattle only moved up one from 24 to 23.
Where did Denver go?
They didn't put a lot into that game last night. The Giants, for Giants fans, they were 28th to start the season. One win moves them up to 24. Not a big move, but enough. And the Dallas Cowboys were 10, Bart. They are now 26.
Don't even tell me what the Jets are, because I know they're hating. Because
I'm still scrolling.
Last I checked, Jacksonville lost two to the Commanders. It's not like they did nothing against Commanders. They lost to the Baltimore Ravens, who's number 10.
I mean, I'm seeing teams like the Panthers, Falcons.
It's all right. I'm going to remember
the Texans.
It's all right. We're going to remember that.
The Jaguars.
We're going to remember that.
The receipts.
We're going to remember that.
Oh, there they are. Coming in at number 32.
It's okay.
Down from 30.
It's okay.
You can't go any farther than this.
Receipts.
On the ESPN Week 1 Power Rankings.
It's okay.
When we move up,
don't tell us what the list is.
Who?
We don't care.
The Jets?
Yeah, don't tell us.
Yeah, the Jets. Do we agree with the Power Rankings? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I think some teams should have tumbled a little bit more, but the Jets being at 32 is depressing. And the receipts thing, yeah, wait till you hear what their head coach had to say about all this criticism they're receiving just one
week. Yeah, after, say it again, after just what?
1 week.
Can I ask you this?
No, not yet. You can't ask me this because we have to go. It's Barton on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote renter's insurance. Renters, not renters. Insurance at progressive.com. I'm going to ask you some stuff. So you want to ask me something coming up? I have to ask you some stuff because we're going to play. It's Tuesday. We play Blitz or Prevent.
Who are you, Barbara Walters?
Yes. I'm going to ask you questions. You know, Blitz or Prevent, you always get the rules wrong.
I know.
Do that. Coming up next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Hahn.
All right, it's Bart and Hahn, Blitzer Prevent. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So let's get the rules right, Bart. Blitz means you want to attack a statement I make. Prevent means backing off. Not interested.
Yeah, not interested.
All right. We shall begin with this very interesting stat. Quarterbacks, or starting quarterbacks, who didn't play at all in the preseason, went 3-8 in week one. Blitzer prevent. Next year in the preseason, we will see more starters actually get some reps in preseason games based on this.
I'm going to blitz that. I'm going to go ahead and blitz that because I think, listen, with the fact that they aren't four games like they used to, you still don't even get the natural reps that you're used to. And you can say that you're going to get it by playing against or practicing against other teams. That doesn't work because it's not the entire environment that you have to go through. It's not a natural walk-up. It's not the anxiety because you're going against, you're going to be in periods. You're going to be with your side. You need real live reps, putting young men in situations where they have to deal with things outside of their control. Crowd noise, light, heat. Nighttime. That's, you don't get that in the practice. It's a controlled environment. And listen, it's a risk reward, right? You have to understand that. Listen, it is always a risk that somebody is going to get hurt, but that can't stop you from going out and getting the necessary work that you need to hit the ground running, yep. Right? Because that game that you lose early on, with how competitive other teams are now, how deep other teams are, everybody got good players, but the difference is everybody has good quarterbacks now. So now you can't just say, listen, we got the better quarterback, eventually we'll win. This isn't where Tom Brady is going to win the AFC East 37 years in a row. It's not like that anymore. You're going to have to fight for that. And that game that you don't win because you weren't prepared and because you weren't in rhythm could be the game that comes back to cost you an opportunity at the playoffs, which eventually costs somebody their job.
And for, like, especially how about Aaron Rodgers with a couple of young wide receivers?
That's so selfish.
You can complain about them all you want, but put in some time with them in, like, game action before you get into live action, and maybe you don't have that issue. Matt LaFleur actually did address the idea of guys not playing in the preseason, and did it hurt?
Minnesota didn't play their guys in the preseason, so obviously it didn't hurt them. So maybe we're doing something wrong in practice, whatever it may be. But certainly it's disappointing.
That's a good point, too.
Idiot. It's not a good point. He's an idiot.
What do you mean? He said Minnesota didn't hurt them.
An idiot. Guess
maybe
what?
We're doing wrong.
They have veteran receivers that have been together, played with that quarterback for the last
Thielen
4 years.
And Jefferson, yeah.
Idiot. Yep. Idiot. Two damn rookies. Idiot. And listen, he doesn't want to offend Aaron, so he's over there toting the company line.
Right.
That's not leadership, chump.
We got more to get to. Blitz or prevent with Barton. All right. I love that, though. I love your passion behind that one. So how about this one? Tyreek Hill will miss Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes misses Tyreek Hill. Blitz or prevent?
Blitz that because it's going to become times where you got to overcome the X's and O's. And Tua Tagovailoa can't do that. It's not going to be the perfect scripted play. It's going to be where the defense does everything right and they have your number. Patrick Mahomes can overcome the scheme, can come overcome a great player on defense, putting him in an awkward position. He can do the reverse spin, no look, over the armpit, under the armpit throw. Tua Tagovailoa can't do that. And eventually, when they run into somebody that can defend themselves and fight back and has a worthy quarterback on the other side, that's when he's going to miss him because that's going to be the difference in one team potentially. Well, I don't have either one. I'm going to the Super Bowl. But
right.
Potentially being able to play meaningful games and others being disappointed.
Okay. So you definitely disagree with that statement. How about this statement as we continue with Blitzer Prevent? I've lost faith in the Raiders after the week one loss to the Chargers with Derek Carr with 3 picks and 6 sacks. I can't believe in them. Blitz or prevent?
Nah. Prevent.
Okay. So you're kind of feeling the same thing. I like it. Last but not least, did you see the story with Micah Parsons and Leonard Fournette? Where I guess there was the clip of Fournette throwing a block on
Parsons.
Yes. I mean,
embarrassing.
Yes.
It's called a chip.
And Micah Parsons saying, stop hyping this, where he goes on Twitter and just starts beefing with him. So, blitz or prevent? Micah Parsons should leave well enough alone.
Yeah. Blitz. Guess what? We all get got. It's film out there, Aaron Donald getting got. It's other great players, too. And if you think you're just going to go up there and just free willy, just run and attack this left tackle that's the backup to the backup without getting somebody that's going to check you in your chest, he got threw out the club because he didn't have 21, he didn't have proper ID, and he was talking stuff to the bouncer. This ain't some type of sneak up. Keep your eyes on your luggage. Where the hell is your peripheral vision? He didn't hit you from the side. He hits you right in front of your face. You have to open up your vision. It happens to everybody. And then Von Miller comes out and pours gas on the gasoline. This block should be illegal. Come on, Doug, son. We used to put Haloti, who's 350 pounds, off the ball 12 yards and tell him to get a head start so he can hit the center in the ear hole so then I can wrap off his ass and come over and get through. Like, we do it to them all the time. Like, come on, son. Stop it. It goes both ways. Pulling guards, de-cleat people when you ain't listening. Keep your eyes on your luggage. Just like the Wham block. T.J. Watt, got a big ball. Thibodeau got a big ball. That's part of the game. You mean to tell me if that was the case, the biggest and the fastest would be the best players? Because guess what? We wouldn't be allowed to give help to people. That's why it's a team. Like, we ain't going to just block you with one person. We're going to block you every single way we can. And we do it all the time on defense. Pittsburgh with the cross dog stunts. What do you think that stuff is? We backpick you games all damn day. Don't get mad because you got hit in your chest. And it's no fun when a rabbit get the gun. But you're coming off real weak sauce. And Von Miller, I love you. But you coming off even weaker because you're supposed to know better. You're supposed to tell the youngster that this is going to happen. They just like they cut your thigh board off, especially when they know that you don't wear no thigh pads. They cut your thigh off because that'll slow you down too. Man up and quit acting like a chump, man.
I had a feeling you'd have an opinion about that.
It's been happening for years, man.
I love it. All right, there's a little bit of time left for you to ask me the question you wanted to ask. I don't know if you want to do it in the former Blitz or Prevent.
I forgot.
But you did want to ask me something, you said.
You know, I'm like Dory, man. I got no short-term memory.
Short-term memory loss?
I think that was just I said that yesterday. When I say that?
No, you said in the previous segment. We had to go to break. You're like, let me ask you a question. I said, we got to go to break. All right, I'll ask you next. Okay.
Yeah. I'm Dory the Explorer. I don't know. Like, what are you talking about? Michael Parsons? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember. But okay. But that was
we can bang.
That was a good one. We got the rules right.
It's just me. Who's that?
No, this is we could both attack a team of us.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729.
No haters. No haters. You can't say sorry to Robert Saleh. We got receipts.
We will get into that. But we have some calls to get to, including Ramon in New York has been waiting a bit. What's up, Ramon?
Can I introduce Ramon? Reze Ramon. Thanks for calling, Reze Ramon.
Yes. I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, I'm a Giants fan, so let that be known. But the coach from Denver, he needs to remember, no trade was made for the kicker. They traded for a Super Bowl-winning quarterback to win these games.
Facts.
And when the winning percentage of a 60-plus field goal is 5% compared to almost a 50-50, 4-5, right, that was a no-brainer. And yes, the second thing I want to say is, I don't care how much Aaron Rodgers wants to cry, he should have took less money to keep Devontae Adams instead of complaining about rookie receivers.
It wasn't even the crazy thing, you know what I'm saying, Reze Ramon? It wasn't even about taking less money. It's the fact that Aaron Rodgers has been holding that organization and pending free agents hostage about, you know, he has to go meditate in a teepee. And he got tired of waiting for him to make his decision so he can make his decision. So he said, you know what, I'm just going to go play with my best friend.
I went for 150. Put the time in with the young receivers. Be a mentor.
Because he's lazy.
Dana's taking over.
What up?
Hey, Han. I remember Kaifer Kaifer. I used to listen to the countdown sometimes on Sundays when I ain't had nothing else to listen to on the radio. I did listen to Kaifer Kaifer.
You weren't listening to Don Cornelius?
He wasn't on the radio.
I'm just playing. I looked at Soul Train, but I listened to KCK on the radio.
Exactly.
Don't get it twisted now, Bart. I'm from the barbershop. Don't get it twisted.
Let me say this right quick.
I don't think Russell Wilson had a chance to win last night, man. And this is another example of a coach getting a shot that's not ready to be a coach, and they're passing up on a whole lot of other good coaches out there that's not getting that shot.
Eric the enemy.
He did not look. I'm telling you. Thanks, Dana.
He looked inept.
Hackett did not look ready. I mean, that team didn't look ready. Undisciplined. They took terrible penalties. Which, again, if you're not either coaching it, you're allowing it to happen.
And the defense looked worse. That was a dominant defense that looked worse.
If I'm in Denver, I'm very concerned about the head coach decision. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Hahn.
That's Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. More news from Bart and Hahn Nation. D in Queens hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's up, D?
Listen, man, I don't ever want to hear about James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, who I can't stand, or any player in the NBA. I don't want any of you pundits ever talking about them again. Because what the Suns owner did, when you read the whole list, if that's not grounds for removal of a team, I don't know what is. Does he have to shoot someone on TV? Seriously,
I mean,
this dude was like sexually harassing men, saying the N-word, emailed them.
Yeah. D, I'll read it. I'll read it off the NBA statement, D, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Because Donald Sterling, they got him out.
And, yeah, now just listen to this, and I want to read a tweet from Mark Spears, who covers the NBA, a friend of mine, who is. It's a very strong statement. So among the key findings, this is from the NBA statement, that Mr. Sarver, for those just joining us, Robert Sarver is suspended for 1 year and fined $10 million after an independent investigation that found that he engaged in conduct that clearly violated common workplace standards and reflected in the team and league rules and policies. Sarver, on at least five occasions during his tenure with the Suns, repeated the N-word when recounting statements of others. He engaged in instances of inequitable conduct towards female employees, made many sex-related comments in the workplace, made inappropriate comments about the physical appearance of female employees and other women, and on several occasions he engaged in inappropriate physical conduct towards male employees. Also engaged in demeaning and harsh treatment of employees, including yelling and cursing at them. 1 year, $10 million. Now, Bart, here's what Mark Spears said. Now, it's not Marcus Spears swag. Ooh, this is Mark J. Spears, the NBA guy. As tough as it was to do, Robert Sarver's racism, misogyny, and more is as worse as Donald Sterling's,
yes,
and very well may surpass it. How does the Suns owner get a pass to return to his throne after a year suspension and not pushed out of the NBA like Sterling, confused by this result? How do you feel about it?
I mean, I feel like it's exactly the same thing, and I feel like, you know, that we have more than enough time to facilitate a sale of the. Listen, he's going to make money by selling the team and give somebody else who understands the principles of and decency of being a good person to be able to own the team. I mean, there's plenty of people that would be vying to buy a team like that. And also, if you're Chris Paul, you were there with Donald Sterling. How are you going to handle
this? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Yes. This is the second. So how are you going to handle this? Because you can't. Why would you want to go play for somebody that looks at you in a demeaning way? Somebody that doesn't respect you as a human being.
Monty Williams, the head coach. James Jones, the celebrated general manager. These are African-Americans who work for this man.
Yeah, they are.
And they're all just. They're there.
You're supposed to be just kumbaya, go report to him, kiki up with him, knowing the way he talked to people and treat people.
How's like, Chris Paul? I mean, think about the odds of Chris Paul
right
being on another team that has this type of issue with an owner.
Well, he should know exactly how to behave and how to get this guy out. Like, he should go to Donald Sterling and say, we're not playing for him. If they collectively say, we're not playing, what can he do?
Now, remember, the owners were the ones that said Sterling's got to go. Like, the owners came.
Okay.
The owners would have to come together here and do the same thing with Sarver. Now, okay. I don't think he's a very popular owner, to be honest with you. But still, the owners would have to come together. This is not – Adam Silver is not king.
Yeah.
But he simply works for the owners, and this is what came of the independent investigation, and they came up with this as the punishment that the Board of Governors approved.
But if his employees decide not to play – no matter what the owners do, what's going to happen? Because at some point, their team has to play against the Suns, and the Suns say, we're not playing. What's that going to do to the TV partnership for billions of dollars? He becomes instantly bad for business, and they will facilitate a sale. Just like when you have somebody and they suddenly have to resign. They didn't want to resign. They said, listen, we can do this the proper way. You're going to get probably an extra couple of billion dollars for the sale because the league is doing so well. But it's time for you to go because now you're bad for business. If the players say, you know what, I'm not showing up to training camp. I'm not showing up to preseason. They won't see me. They won't see us. What are they going to do?
Well, he's going to be out for a whole year. So he won't be around.
No. Period. He got to go. I don't care if you're around or not. This still is benefiting him. I don't care if his wife or somebody in his family assumes his role. We're still linked and associated with this guy, and we no longer want to be associated with this guy, whether he's visibly present or just present by ownership. Nah, he got to go. That's the punishment you pay.
They would have to then have a meeting about this. We haven't seen any reaction from players yet. I've been trying to keep an eye on that to see if there are any Suns players that have anything to say about it. But as I mentioned, I mean, Monty Williams is a widely respected head coach. Everybody likes him. And then James Jones, the job he's done in building this team. Remember, this was a team that wasn't very good, and now they are. So we'll see what the future holds. But as of now, Robert Sarver out for 1 year, $10 million fine. Coming up, what's going on in Denver after last night?
Bart and Han.